For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
They're doing that thing again. You know the thing I'm talking about. That thing where the Phillies are 6-4 in their last 10 games, but it sure doesn't feel like it, does it? Playing that little frustrating brand of Phillies baseball that we know and love. They're 8-8 on the backs of some unbelievably good pitching and some unbelievably not good offense. All of that comes together to combine and create a 500 team, which I guess sounds about right. That levels things out. That's equilibrium. The Phillies have had their share of good games and bad games, sometimes within the same series. There isn't a whole lot more to say other than that. But this is a big week coming up against two heavy hitters, two big contenders in the National League and American League, the Colorado Rockies and Chicago White Sox, who are both clearly flying high. Now, this is a big week for the Phillies to pounce. Welcoming in, as always, my co-host from The Athletic, Mr. Matt Gelb. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. It has been a very Phillies start to the season, but you know, there's two different ways you look at it, right? It's like they've probably been one of the best, if not the best, pitching staffs in the National League, and they've scored the 14th most runs in the National League. And it's not exactly how we envisioned it. I think if anything, there's one area where you can really get upset, and it's that they have been sloppy, you know, like in the field and on the bases. And, you know, you can get upset about the lack of offense. And I think that that's certainly reasonable. I think if you really want to get upset, you get upset about the lack of crispness in the play.
Crispness. Yes.
It's not crispy. And, you know, but I do think, and you're kind of like mockingly introducing it, and rightfully so, the Rockies and the White Sox have two of the three worst records in the major leagues to start the year. I think we're going to learn a lot about the Phillies this week, and that sounds weird to say because they're facing the Rockies and White Sox, but if we're still in a week from now talking about, like, you know, what's going on with the offense, then I think you can say there's a real problem. I'm not ready to say that yet. I still am willing to wipe it away as, you know, an uneven, weird start for a team that will hit, should hit, has gotten a little unlucky, has, you know, made some bad swing decisions. I think all that is fair. I think it's fair to be frustrated by the offensive start. Not willing to say it's a huge problem yet. If we are saying that at the end of this week, I think there's a bigger conversation to have. And so first up's the Rockies. And, you know, this is the first time they're facing the Rockies since May 14th, 2023. And do you remember what happened that day at Coors Field?
At Coors Field. That sounds familiar. Was that the dust up?
Yeah. So Bryce Harper took exception to a Rockies reliever named Jake Bird. I guess is their closer now, you know, kind of showing them up. And then Bryce comes on the field and just like goes after the whole Rockies dugout and says, you know, you're a loser fucking organization. Every single one of you, you're losers. He's like yelling. And it's like an all time great moment. I think it's hilarious, man, that he's basically just trying to take on the entire team. And guess what? Since then, since that day, the Rockies are 46-91. That's a 336 winning percentage. That's the worst in baseball.
They
are a loser organization. No, I don't know if he did it. No, I think they did it to themselves. It's pretty rough. Things are rough there. And their pitching specifically is brutal. And if the Phillies do not slug in these three games against the Rockies, I think something's wrong. So,
you know, I'm looking at these probables for this series tonight. We're recording on Monday, as usual. Cal Quantrill goes against Aaron Nola for the Rockies tonight. Tomorrow, it's Austin Gomber, who, you know, I think
a lefty, right?
A lefty, Cielo? Yeah. And yeah. I have this weird recollection of him giving the Phillies problems in one start. I hope that's wrong. And then Ryan Feltner in the Wednesday game, who's actually decent. He's probably the best pitcher going for them right now. You're absolutely right, and I hope it doesn't turn into this, oh no, we need to outslug everybody, so let's put more pressure on ourselves kind of thing, you know? Because the Rockies are not, they're not a good team right now. They have some good players, and they can give you some headaches. You know, they are major leaguers in the end. But this is a pitching staff that a lineup like this should absolutely feast on, and I don't really think there's a whole lot of wiggle room around that. You know, it's been easier to write off these first 2+ weeks as a blip, a long blip now, and we're getting into the point where it starts getting a little more frustrating than it was at this point last week. But it is still a blip in the grand scheme of things. I can't keep saying that forever. I know, but it is still in blip territory. But this is the time, right? This is the time to win a bunch of games. You have two of the worst teams in baseball coming to your park this week. You know, the Rockies can't pitch. The White Sox cannot hit.
Oh, my God.
They are. This is a week where
the White Sox have scored 34 runs in 15 games.
Yeah.
That seems impossible.
Yeah. It's bad. It's really bad. They don't have Luis Robert now. You know, things are not looking great for the two teams that are coming into Philadelphia this week. They are really not. So this is the chance to really, you know, put your foot down a little bit. Break the schneid, get off the deck a little, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess I'm hand waving it away, but like, I look at this and I say, like, they have two guys right now in their lineup who have an OPS plus over 100, which is league average, right? Trey Turner and Brandon Marsh, and they're 8-8.
Right.
I mean, like, honestly, they should be under 500, and they're not. And like, I look at that and say, okay, they've been able to tread water without any semblance of a consistent offense, and it has put a pretty decent strain on the relievers, and that is a thing to watch. I mean, the bullpen has been used, only because, you know, all these games have been close and they haven't had a ton of opportunities. And yesterday was one where they did use their B relievers, and now Sir Anthony Dominguez is a B reliever. He's probably their sixth guy. Honestly, might be their seventh guy, depending on how you feel about Junior Marte. And so it has put a strain on the pitching and the relievers, no doubt. But I look at it as like they shouldn't even be 500 with the offense that they've had. So I think you say this team, when they have even like a borderline competent offense, they're in pretty good shape. Like, they're in really good shape. And I'm not saying there's going to be some regression to the pitching, no doubt. I mean, they're not, you know, but how much regression? I don't know that there's going to be a ton. Do you?
Honestly, and this is kind of scary, I see a little bit more falling backward from guys on offense than I do from a lot of these pitchers. That's not to say everybody's going to collapse even more than they have on offense. And that's not what I'm after here. I'm looking specifically at, like, you know, Brandon Marsh, you mentioned his what he's doing doesn't really seem like it's going to keep up for too much longer.
It's funny, 'cause he's actually having a worse start than he did last year.
It's just,
he's having a great start, but he was even better last year. So I guess he has already had some regression. I don't know.
In that light, yes. Here's the thing. And we looked at this at the end of last year with Johan Rojas. We saw it with former Phillies great Mickey Moniak out with the Angels. We saw it with Edmundo Sosa too.
Yeah.
You cannot survive for long without the balance of walks to strikeouts as a hitter.
Yeah,
it varies from player to player. Brandon Marsh has struck out 20 times in 51 plate appearances and walked twice.
That's a lot.
It won't hold up. He's not going to keep doing this. He's really hitting the ball hard, which is helping. And that's helping, you know, with the BABIP and everything. Okay, that's cool. You can't strike out 40% of the time and expect to keep this up. So just...
And it's funny because you're going to get to a point here that I think... was the most interesting thing that happened last week. And it happened early last week, so it's easy to forget about it now. But right now, Paul, the Phillies are sixth in the National League in walks. I actually think they've been generally patient.
They've been okay.
Alec Bohm's got 10 walks. You know, Bryson Stott has almost as many walks as strikeouts. Schwarber has drawn his walks. Castellanos has drawn his walks.
Yeah, Nick has 6. That's not nothing for him.
But I think that they veered too far into the don't chase thing. I do. And you're going to, yeah. And people are going to just roll their eyes at me because
I'm not,
you know, because this, they're still chasing. Like it's very clear. They're about, you know, a little above league average, I think, in like chase rate, whatever, to start the season. The Braves actually have a higher chase rate than the Phillies, and the Braves have the best offense in baseball. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, not causation or correlation, but it's just something to think about. And I do think that early on, and I've heard this from players, from the manager, from coaches, I do think that some of the aggression and some of the things that make the Phillies offense a formidable one was sort of taken away by the fixation on not chasing. And it's not just fixation from fans and the media and the front office. I mean, it was a point of emphasis in the spring. I mean, they restructured their hitting program. They're hitting coaches, I guess, the assistants for Kevin Long, and they had different drills and different ideas for how to get these guys to chase less. And I wonder what they've sacrificed in doing that.
You know, it's hard to say because I look at it as, okay, I might have done the same thing if I were a coach wanting to look at what was wrong, I guess, with this lineup. What would I try to improve, really? What would be a point of emphasis? And it probably would have been chasing. Probably would have been trying to be more selective. The tough thing about a skill like that is that's usually pretty inherent with a lot of these hitters. When they by the time they reach the major league level, their plate discipline skill set is pretty much set in stone. You don't see a lot of guys really vary wildly between being not selective and drawing five pitches a plate appearance and walking 80 times. That doesn't really happen. To try and change that is a big task. It's a big undertaking. I think it's probably a symptom here where you have somebody like Bryson Stott who, you know, is not really putting great swings on the ball apart from his home run, which was an excellent swing. Castellanos, obviously everybody's focused on him, still yet to get an extra base hit. He's one of the more free swinging guys in a lineup that has its fair share of free swingers. I don't know if this is just a case of, you know, you've written about this over the last week or two, where there are April experiments where they give things a little bit more leeway early on, that this is the time to kind of feel it out, see what works, and that maybe there's a way they can work themselves back into somewhere a little closer to the middle or closer to where they used to be with those two hitters in particular. But maybe there are others who don't really feel like this approach is working either. I don't know. And obviously they're not going to tip their hands about how they're going to approach every, you know, plate appearance like that. But I do think for the most part, it's not all doom and gloom, right? You look up and down this lineup, doesn't look awesome, but I actually pulled out a thing just because I feel like they were still getting some hard luck. And now this lumps all batted ball events together. So this includes ones that are beaten into the ground as opposed to, you know, hit on a line or in the air. But the Phillies have, entering Monday, 201 batted ball events at 90 miles an hour plus. This is from Baseball Savant. It's a pretty high number. Not every team has 200. 120
Where does
of
that
those,
rank?
Is well,
that
120 like of those have been outs.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so percentage-wise, that is eighth worst in the league. You can find, you know, luminaries like the White Sox at the top of that list, around 64%. And then you see, okay, Atlanta has 215, so 14 more than the Phillies, and they've only turned into 101 outs. That is the lowest percentage in the entire league. So, again, that lumps everything together. That includes ground balls, which are easier to turn out.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's funny because Stott gave a great quote, like, and I wrote about Stott. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's perfect because he was like, they've been trying to tell him, like, look, your expected numbers are decent. Like, keep doing what you're doing. And he has had some okay swings, not great swings. But then he's like, he was funny because he's like, well, you're not looking at your expected batting average when you're actually batting 340.
Right.
And he's right. I mean, you're not. I mean, you're using these as crutches, right, to try to explain what's happening. And like, you look at Sunday, for example, I mean, the Phillies had 10 of the 13 hardest hit balls in the game. Mm-hmm. And like, if the goal is to hit the ball hard, which it is, that is the goal. Yes. Like, the goal is to hit the ball hard and hope, you know, that it either goes over the wall or finds grass, like, then most nights they have accomplished that. Not every night, most nights they have. And I don't think it's healthy to hand wave everything away. I do think there are things to, you know, really be like, a little concerned here. But in general, they should be so much worse off right now than they are.
It's good to have that perspective, I think, because I come into this being a little more frustrated than I probably should be after 16 games, just based on the way the offense has performed.
Yeah, because you feel like they've wasted a ton of great pitching.
There's that. You know, I got so hung up last summer on how often they tended to waste heroics, you know, like Harper's 300th home run tying the game against the Angels, and they eventually lose that game, you know, like as a point of emphasis. But in this case, they're wasting some good pitching efforts. But that goes back to the point that we were talking about just a couple of minutes ago, where you don't feel like the pitching is hanging on by a thread, like they're overperforming to some incredible degree that, you know, the offense wasting these games, these well-pitched games, is worthy of that much more concern.
Correct.
You know, you have to feel, and I continue to feel this, that the offense will come around and there's going to be a stretch. Ideally, it's longer than 2 weeks in the other direction, but there's going to be a stretch where it clicks, where you start seeing guys hitting the ball over the wall, where you start seeing the line drives fall in, where things start coming around, because really it's just too talented a lineup to be hitting like this. It just is. And I don't think anybody out there would argue with that.
No. And where do you start? You start with Bryce Harper, right? And
sure.
It's not to say that the lineup comes and goes with Bryce Harper, but he's a pretty big piece. I mean, right now, as a team, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 6 spots in the lineup, they're 28th in slugging in baseball combined. Oof. From those four spots in the middle.
Man.
And it's not just a Bryce Harper problem, but, you know, Harper is the guy you're going to pay attention to. And there's weird things happening, right? I mean, he's his expected numbers are way better than his actual numbers. And we've seen him make pretty good contact at times. We've seen him had some really bad at bats at times. I mean, he has not gotten as many balls on the barrel as you expect him to. It's been some weird, you know, some weird at bats where, he's taking or swinging at bad pitches, and his ground ball rate is, it's not great. It's lower than it was last year, but it's still, it doesn't seem like he's right. And everyone's always asking, is he hurt? Is he hurt? No, I don't think he's hurt. I think he's fine. His fielding actually has been, I think, pretty good.
Fielding's been great. Yeah.
And that would be an indicator of anything. If he was hurt or compromised, I don't think you'd see him moving around like he has at first base. And I think he's moved around quite well. He needs to see a few go over the wall. He's only hit home runs in one game this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Phillies have played 16 games. He has homered in one game, and he hit 3 in one game. It was great, but he's only homered in one game. He's only got 3 extra base hits other than those 3 home runs. It's just not Bryce Harper. And, Turner, for example, I wouldn't think that he hasn't been great, right? But then you look up and he's hitting 302 with a 371 on base.
His numbers surprised me. Yeah.
Right. And so it just takes one or two or three games to this early in the season still to make the numbers look better. And like I said, if we're having the same conversation in a week, I think it's going to be harder to hand wave it all away.
Well, here's another point in favor of, the silver lining is the right way to go here, because since that 3 homer game for Harper, 11 starts, he's hitting 186. His OPS is 527. Not looking great. He's only struck out 11 times in 48 plate appearances. That's a pretty small number. And the team is 6-5. It goes back to they are treading water. Yes.
Yeah, and they should be 6-10.
This guy, Bryce Harper is the trailing batter in the NL in win probability. He has the lowest win probability number in the entire National League. And he is hitting right smack in the middle of this order. Yes, he is ahead of Chris Bryant on the Rockies.
Oh my God.
-1. Francisco Lindor, who's also off to an incredibly cold start at -0.9. He is the trailing guy. He has come up in big spots. And run expectancy too. The run expectancy tables with the base outs, if you're into more advanced stuff, look it up. It's actually kind of cool. Only Lindor has a worse RE24 than Bryce Harper so far. And there's a big gap between those two and third worst. You just don't think that's going to be Bryce Harper this year. It's a flukishly bad week, assuming his back is fine. And your point about the fielding is great, because I would feel like he wouldn't be diving all over the place, you know, making these plays like he has been, at least not coming up wincing if his back was giving him that much trouble. It just feels like one of those weeks, sadly.
So who am I actually concerned about? Start with Castellanos. It's not good. You know, I mean, he is what he is. I think we all know this at this point. He is very streaky. He is probably not. He took a lot of his power came to the opposite field. And I don't think, you know, we see as much of that as we did in his late 20s. That doesn't mean that he can't be just like a singles guy anymore. I mean, and I know, look, like he's hitting seventh and on most days, you know, he hit.
Right.
That's their A lineup. He's hitting seventh, and that's probably where he belongs. And he has to adjust to that. He's not going to see as many strikes down there, although he doesn't really see as many strikes, I don't think, anywhere he hits, honestly. Even if you hit him second with Bryce behind him, like, I don't know how many more strikes he would see, because teams know that he will expand.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know that you can just tell this guy not to expand. He likes to be aggressive, and it's funny because his walk-off hit against the Pirates on Saturday, I asked him, I was like, are you sitting dead red there? I mean, because he jumped first pitch fastball, and it was an aggressive swing, and it was as good of a swing and one of the hardest hit balls he's had all year.
Yeah, it was great.
And he's like, honestly, for the first time all season, I was like, I didn't go up there with an approach. I wasn't even thinking. I was just like, see the ball, hit the ball. And I wanted to win the game. And I was like, huh, like, I wonder if there's, you know, it's not to say you're going to tell this guy to go up there without an approach in every single at bat, because that probably won't lead to good results over 6 months. But I don't know, maybe there was something to that. And, you know, Rojas' at bats, I think, have been a little better. Still not good, not good enough. Like, I don't think you can hand wipe that away. I don't know why I say hand wipe. It's because I have kids and I use the wipes all the time. You can't wave that away.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like Bohm, like wondering where the power is still. Stott, same thing. And I don't think Stott is a power hitter, but it's just got to be better. Has not made hard enough contact at times. But then you look at some of these other like trends that have emerged, like Kyle Schwarber against lefties.
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber, period. Probably. And again, he's got a 99 OPS plus as we sit here Monday morning. Like some really strong trends coming out of Schwarber's first 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Hitting, you know, just it looks different at the plate. You know, using the whole field, not just dead pull every single AB, not, you know, out in front on everything. Like he, I think he's in a really good spot. And it's funny because the numbers don't necessarily reflect that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He does just look different. Like, maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it's something to follow through. Well, he looks different than he did last year, you know, and I think the results are kind of bearing that out. He was the first, I saw this come through, and then I forget who I saw it from. I will need to go back so I can properly credit this. But Kyle Schwarber, when he went 3-for-3 with 2 walks over the weekend.
The Phillies had this note. Yeah.
Okay. He was the first left-handed hitter to reach base safely 5 times exclusively against left-handed pitching since Richie Ashburn did it against Sandy Koufax. Yeah,
amazing. Amazing stuff.
It's unbelievable. And it's not from a guy you would expect. You would expect somebody like, I don't know, a Tony Gwynn or an Ichiro to pull off something like that. Not a Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, I mean, so far this year against lefties, he's 13-for-30 with 6 walks.
Tremendous.
I mean, He's about a third of the way to his total hits against lefties last year in the first 2.5 weeks of the season. I think he had like 39 hits last year against lefties.
He looks nice, and that is nice to see. I do wish that the performances they do get on offense were supplemented a bit better by the bench, because the bench isn't doing anything.
Bench just doesn't play. I mean, that's Whit Merrifield concerned.
They have been playing. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, they got Thompson emptied his bench on Saturday, and they won the game. Yeah, I don't know. Merrifield, if you want to put, if you're like my top three concerns, you know, offensively through the first 2.5 weeks of the season, Castellanos is at the top.
Yep.
I'm probably putting like Bohm second because the power just hasn't been there. And I know he's driven in runs and he's gotten his walks.
Interesting.
So that maybe that's not fair, but I'm going to put him there.
Okay.
And I think Merrifield is third. Merrifield, tough adjustment. Obviously, he's not playing every day for the first time in his career, basically. Has not impacted the ball once, I don't think. Has he?
I was just looking this up. The bench bats have an incredibly low hard hit rate. I think he's at a zero. I don't think he has a batted ball 95 plus. I don't think he has one yet. It's like
his hard hit rate is 0%.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, good. So like there are four Phillies among the bottom 11 in the National League in hard hit rate, according to Baseball
Reference. And that's to be clear, is that we're asking, like, we're not saying if these guys need to slug and hit home runs and hit for power like that, but like hitting the ball hard is, you know, a prerequisite for any major league player.
Right. You know, it's got to be tough in particular, I think, for Rojas, even though the team is, I think, doing the right thing and putting their support behind him and keeping him out there and letting him play, because you look at him and how similar he is to me to a player on the Boston Red Sox named Sedan Rafaela, who's also early on in his major league career, who came up through the minor leagues with a similar defensive reputation, maybe a bit more of an offensive reputation. But the Red Sox just gave Rafael an 8-year, $50 million deal based on the value that he brings as a versatile defender. He's not hitting much. He's not hitting at all. He's hitting comparably to Rojas right now.
Yeah, same. And you can use the guy we just saw in St. Louis, Victor Scott II. Very similar situation, skill set. Yeah.
Yep. And teams value that.
That's not hit. Yeah.
And you just feel like if he could hit a little bit more, that maybe he'd be talking himself into that you know, early extension category. Can't do that now because everybody would be like, huh? What are you doing?
Or if everybody else was hitting around him, we wouldn't be.
Exactly. You know. It keeps coming back to this, right? It always ever seems like just one guy is doing anything on offense on a given night. They've had two games this year where they've scored more than one run in multiple innings.
Really?
They both came in the Cardinal series. You just don't think these things are really that possible with the names that are in the lineup. And you can't think that it's going to continue this way. It just wouldn't make sense.
But how would this look like if this came in mid-June after like a decent stretch to start the season? I mean, we probably would be hand wiping it away.
Yes, because it would have the padding of, you know, the rest of the season, right? Everything else gets cushioned. We talk about these stats stabilizing, and this is what we mean. You said just a second ago, one good game can completely, you know, bring your season line up, you know, 100 points in every category. Yeah. That's where we are right now, and that can still happen. If this happened in the middle of the summer, that it's not as dramatic a movement because you have a bigger body of work. And yes, we do worry about it a little bit less. Right now, you look at Bryce Harper hitting, you know, under 200 and only homering, you know, in one game.
Yeah.
Slugging under 400. Okay, yeah, that's cause for some concern, sure. Do you think Atlanta is very worried about Ronald Acuna only slugging 327 right now? No, because the other guys around him are hitting and picking him up. And you look at the names in the Braves lineup, yes, they're very good. That's why they're ahead in the division right now, because they can slug their way past some bad pitching. And that pitching situation is not getting any better very quickly, by the way. Keep an eye on that. But the hitters around Ronald Acuna, while he is, again, that is real. He does not have a home run. He is slugging 327 as we record this right now. You think they're concerned about that? I don't.
No.
You just need the rest of the guys to pick him up.
Yeah. I mean, and for the Phillies, it has to start this week. You know, you have the decided advantage on the mound and at the plate, you know, in these next six games are off Thursday. So 2-3 game sets here. And then you go on a pretty lengthy road trip.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got to start this week. I mean, I thought a lot of the pitching that we saw in this past week was terrific. I thought Ranger Suarez probably had the best start of any Philly in the last week. Christopher Sanchez's start, weird. Like, that whole game was weird. If they lose again on Friday in the City Connects, do they have to burn the uniforms now? I mean, they've already suffered a loss against Bailey Falter to start off with those uniforms. I mean, that's you know, I feel like they're really teetering on the edge with the City Connects here.
The City Connects, they were made for a team that plays a different sport.
No, they were made to make money, and they're not made. We're not the target demographic. And I think I've seen a lot of them at the ballpark. I think people are buying them. So
I like the hats. Yeah.
The other thing here, they're 8-8 and they're 0-4 in Zach Wheeler starts. Like, again, they yeah.
If anything's being wasted, it's Zach Wheeler starts.
And look, Sunday was, you know, it was a bad pitch.
Don't give up a grand slam to Jack Sawinski if you can help it, please.
Yeah, but it was the pitches before that too, that, you know, to load the bases.
Sure.
It was an error in there and a walk and
crisp,
you know, again, just not crispy. Yeah, exactly, not crispy. But yeah, I understand, like, there's two ways for fans to look at this and say, oh, like, they are 8-8, like, they you know, without any offense, and they should be, you know, that's great because they should have a worse record. And the other way of looking at it is, like, they're going to, you know, this is just a mirage, 8-8, because they're not going to hit, and, you know, they're just going to keep losing games. So there's two ways of looking at it. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I, given the talent, and like we've discussed, I think what we're getting at here, Paul, is that we think there will be more regression, positive regression from the offense, and there will be negative regression from the pitching staff. And I think that is reasonable. I do. Like, I don't think there's been these major outlier performances from the pitching staff.
Nope.
I mean, if anything, Nola hasn't been Nola, and he's going to get his nice weather tonight. So
finally.
Yeah. You know, could there be some regression from some of the relievers? Sure.
I'm not super convinced.
We see some of it. I mean, like, Hoffman blew a save and then, you know, came back 2 days later in St. Louis and got the save. You know, will there be some regression from Greg Soto and Matt Strom? Maybe. Yeah. But they just added Kirkering. You know, Kirkering hasn't been around, and now Kirkering's here and he will be a late inning guy for them. Yeah. I mean, like, will there be some regression from Turnbull? Sure. And we already started to see a little bit of it.
See that. Yeah.
But, man, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that there won't be huge amounts of negative regression on this pitching staff as a whole.
No, I really love the assembly of pitchers that they have right now. And, you know, that's even with Alvarado walking a few more guys again. Matt Strom probably is the outlier here. He's got a FIP of 0.12.
12 Ks, no walks.
He's been amazing.
The outing he had Saturday was terrific. He came in after Turnbull and stranded some guys and then struck out, you know, five guys in two innings. That was really good.
I will sing that dude's praises for a long time. He's one of the shrewdest moves this team has made in a minute. Yeah, look, we're buying ourselves one more week of this. Okay, everybody out there, one more week. Okay, we'll check back in with you at some point next week. And we'll have seen how things have gone with Colorado and the White Sox. And then we will calibrate. Then we will take stock. Because this is a six-game stretch where better things should be happening on offense. They really should. And if they don't, I'm probably going to be a little more frustrated because I can do that. I'm the fan on this show.
I mean, it's always early seasons. We've talked about this. It's hard to evaluate and hard to, especially in my shoes as the reporter, it's hard to analyze, and draw conclusions from, the first 2-3 weeks of the season. And, the more we get, and especially this week, it's going to tell us, I think this week's going to tell us, it's going to show us where this team is right now. Yeah, got to do damage here. Got to win at least 4, probably 5 out of 6.
Yep. Big week coming up in that way. Time to, you know, they say the good teams really just take care of business against.
I mean, keep winning series. They haven't lost a series now since the Red Series. They won the National Series. They won the Cardinal Series. They split the Pirate Series. You know, probably should have won it because you got Wheeler out there in game 4, but they don't and still haven't lost the series.
Take that. It's just, it's strange. It doesn't feel that way, but here's where we are. That's great.
Definitely doesn't.
All right. Well, that's what we got coming up this week. Hopefully we see some fireworks. Hopefully we see some dingers. Matt, as far as dingers on the page, what do you got working this week?
I wrote a little feature over the weekend on Orion Kirkering and just him coming back and this idea of, you know, he had, you know, so much hype last year and it was like a great story, right? But like, it's not a story anymore. I mean, like he, you know, now it's time, you know, how can he be great? And I think that this is a question that they've been asking of him and he's been asking of himself. It's like, how do I, I'm not just this like novelty anymore. And he's got a lot of ideas and they have a lot of ideas. And I think he's an impressive guy at age 23, just turned 23 last week. And yeah, so I think it's an interesting question to ask. And then this week, we'll see what the week brings.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I was talking to you before we started recording about that very thing, about Orion Kirkering and how he is no longer a novelty, but he is still being talked about in a very different way from the way you typically hear team officials and coaches and people talk about players just in general, really. They talk about him in a different way that makes me pay attention. They really, truly believe that there is something about Orion Kirkering that is truly special. And that has piqued my interest. I know I want to be tuning in each time he takes the mound because they don't talk about everybody like this. So hopefully there's something there to unlock. Caleb Cotham, if there is any coach in the league who could unlock something like that, I believe it is him all the way in there. And we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm sure they're still going to ramp him up gently as he, you know, made his debut over the weekend. And now he'll hopefully work in a back-to-back eventually as the situation calls, but we'll just see how it goes. All right, great. So go ahead, check out Matt's stuff on The Athletic. He's obviously always cranking out the great features, worth the subscription alone. Plus you get all the other great stuff like the National Writers. So it's justified. Just do it. If you're not already, why aren't you? Phillies need to hit. They should hit. Hopefully they will hit. Tune in tonight as they take on the Rockies. Cal Quantrill faces off against Aaron Nola, who gets his good weather. And we'll see how things go. We'll check back in with you next week and understand if my hairs are going a little bit grayer by the tone of my voice. For Matt, I am Paul. We'll catch you then.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.